Good evening, or whatever time of day you listen to this. It is over here on the Pacific Coast of California. March the 15th, 2017. And we are 6 minutes away from the hour. We hope to start the show at 6 Pacific. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in Paradise, California. And as usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. We have people joining in live on the call. And in the meantime, I don't think an announcement email will be mailed out tonight. So I will play another song to fill up the time space. Thank you all for being here. Good evening and welcome to the live conference call. Please say your name and location.
Ramananda, Boulder Creek.
Dharmananda, welcome. How are you?
And you?
Doing well, my friend.
Right. Nice weather.
Yes, it's just amazing, huh? Rain next week, apparently. Thank you, man. Thank you for being here. Thank you to May and Colleen. Thank you for being here. And everyone on BBS.
So we have still one. Wynn wanted everyone to know that he was sorry not to be here tonight and that we're doing a replay. He just wanted everyone that sent in questions to be aware of it, that he'll play them, do the questions next week.
All right. Thank you for sharing. Yes, we do have a replay ready. And that is from 2012.
They didn't have questions last week either. What's going on?
This time, they have a medical issue that they have to take care of. So that was that's going on.
Okay.
Don't forget to put the recording on so that we can hear the replay of the replay.
Yes.
Thank you.
We will convert now. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heinz. It's Dave from Atlantic City.
Good evening and welcome to the call. All right. So, hello to all of you on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here.
This conference is being recorded.
It is Wednesday, March the 15th, 2017. And tonight, as we usually have a question and answer session on Wednesday evening, please, if you have anything submitted, try it again next week. Thank you, Colleen, for informing us. As today, Terry had to go in for something medical, and good evening, welcome to the call. I'm going to turn off the dings. All right. And what I would like to do, since it, you know, it is simply so that Terry can use our prayers. I don't know details, but she has something medical going on, and I just want to have her in our thoughts and pray for her. Here in this now, think about the beauty that she is. Send the love in your thoughts.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And Colleen, let's see if you are unmuted. You are muted currently. Let me unmute you. I would like to know if you know if the whole Planet Healing will be on tonight.
I'll go on tonight, and I'll do a replay of that as well. And if Wynn comes in, then that will be fine. But I don't think he'll be back for that.
Okay, fantastic. So you'll be there for that. That's great.
Yeah, I'll be there. Okay.
All right. I'll mute your line. And it was yesterday during the whole planet healing session where I felt, I knew that Terry was on the other side of the line home, and I felt such a strong connection. I don't know if she felt it. But it will be great if here in this now we just join our energies together and we see Terry and we see her support with lots of love light. She's such a wonderful person. She has such a big heart. Keep her in your thoughts, keep her in your prayers. And I will start next the recording from 2012. Again, I thank you all for being here. Enjoy.
So those of you that are listening to the replay, welcome. This is September 19th, 2012. And this is our question and answer call. And you know what? They missed our hello. I'm not going to do it again. In any case, you can see how tricky that is. So when you guys ask me questions, so many of you say, tell me this. And they want, you want specifics, and we're not going to get it. Do I see Daphne on the line? Hello, Daphne. Do I see you? Are you unmuted?
You see me.
Well, just I'm saying hello. Say hello to everybody. Everybody misses you.
I miss everyone too. Hello, hello.
Okay. Now I'm not going to ask you any questions tonight. You're just going to listen, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just here as part of the team.
All right. Well, it's so nice to hear your little angelic voice, and we'll
Daphne, I think I can speak for everyone. We love you very much. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, Heise. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Heise is such a mushball, isn't he?
it's that wonderful Dutch accent.
Right. All right. Now I'm gonna mute you. Okay. Since that way you can make all kinds of background noises. Okay? Here we go. You are muted. And we're going to call in the light. Are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Now, when we call in the light, this is a invocation. It's a reaching for a higher level of truth using our group intentions. And it's moving to connect with this energy of oneness, this energy that David Wilcock calls the source field, that there are many names for, and we're all part of that energy. We usually feel separated. So when we bring in these messages, we want to not feel separated. We want to feel connected. We want to feel connected to our sources, and that's what creates the safety net where we can ask these questions in such a public way. And let me see here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, myself, Terry, Daphne, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive have access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. And we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Today is September 19, 2012, planet Earth, and the merging of the two timelines. Our timeline from the 10th dimension and Ra's timeline from the 5th and 7th dimension and the third density timeline. And we see that each of these densities move at a different time speed, so that when an individual focuses from that particular timeline, the time moves differently, so that the time in your third density to us in the tenth density is moving extremely slowly. There are many energies to keep in sync in the third density, and this is the reason for the slowness. It is as if one, instead of thinking in lightning speed and being able to affect an image and to be able to move the individual around, is more having a thought and then has to give all the material universe in the third density around them that is influential upon their space, has to get it all into sync. And that is one of the reasons that it is so difficult to be in the third density, because you have this difference in speed between you as a being whose home is in the higher realms and your accoutrements, which we mean your body and your environment, the air around you, the social complex around you. But more even just the physical things around you that need to get in motion for something to be accomplished. Do you have questions?
No. This is from Adam Fletcher in, where is he? He is in, I believe, New Hampshire. Let me see. I think he's, hello, everyone. This is Adam. I grew up in an extremely Christian Baptist family. It never completely set right with me, and I felt as if what I was taught wasn't the whole story. About 2.5 or 3 years ago, I came across the Book of Ra. I guess he means the Law of One, Carla Ruckert. And it completely changed my life and outlook on things. By the way, that book is available on the Internet all over the place for free. Just look up Law of One, Carla Ruckert, or Law of One. In the past year or so, I have been working hard on astral projection and being able to connect with my higher self. Subconsciously, it happens at times, and I'm able to feel the love light and feel that I'm in touch with my higher self. But I struggle consciously to be able to do this. I have noticed that because of my Baptist upbringing, I have constant fear in the back of my head that says all of this is wrong, and I will go to hell for believing in this. At my core, I know that it is not true, that all of this makes more sense, and that all of this makes more sense than the Christian faith ever did to me. But it's a constant nagging. And so, could you offer insight as to what I can do to subside this fear. And one last thing. Wynn, I was the last caller to speak to you on Coast to Coast and told you that I've come to believe everything that you had talked about and asked you what the next step was. And when we got off the phone, I thought my question had not been answered. But within a day, I realized that you had answered my question, that only I could decide what my next step was, and you suggested that I find fellowship of like-minded people. And your conference calls and website are just that. Thank you, and I appreciate you for all that you're doing. And so the question is, he has this nagging fear because of his Christian background that he's guilty and that he might go to hell. How can he deal with that? Thank you.
Thank you. You need more information. You need more connection. We see in the Christian background we search for the word, the constituents that go to make up the makings that go to make up what the individual can use for guidance. And in the religion, there are many things that guide you and guide your family and guide society into something that has been proven workable. So one should not criticize or find fault with that. It is something that is occurring, is in use, and should be honored with the free will of the people involved. And to look at it and see what it consists of, what are the tenets of the belief, what are the mores, what are the recommended ways of behavior, and many of the recommended ways of behavior have proven very valuable for the survival over time of more than one generation. When you look outside of that for more connection, for more give and take with the universal principles, you can learn to fit the background in without making it wrong or without making what you are finding out wrong. You can simply review it all. And when you see something that eases your life and fits in ethically and connects you in a greater, more expansive way, and also includes the body of knowledge, is acknowledging its existence in how it has been useful without taking sides, you can begin to develop in a rounded out way, and you will develop your own sense of balance and your own look at how the history, the tenets, the beliefs have helped individuals to support them in their daily life and to give them entrance into community and to provide a group of people to ally with. And from that, without criticism, can then begin to expand out without feeling wrong. Is you go like a sure-footed person barefoot in the walking in on the ground and feeling the ground beneath your feet and getting your balance and feeling sure-footed so that the things that you learned can expand you from the base that you have come from and can still honor the good points and the benefits that the religion has given to your family and your grandparents in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question from Ray in Henderson, Nevada, and I think I will make a stab at answering this. When I can answer it, it helps hold the energy a little easier for Terry. And when two people meet for the first time and there is a chemistry connection, is this the soul feeling this, or is it just biological first, and then the soul makes the connection later? From all of my understanding, it's always different. Every meeting of anyone, there's no one-size-fits-all. When two people meet, there's automatic astrological connections. And that's, I would say astrological might be lower than soul. But, you know, is their Venus connect to their Mars? Is their, you know, what is their astrological thing? Because that makes something. And then there is their past life history. And if you meet someone that you had a past life history with, you can have an immediate vibrational connection, feel comfortable with them or uncomfortable, depending on what happened in the past. So all of those things are happening simultaneously, and it's going to be different for everybody. If somebody had a past life connection, they may not even have a, it may not hit them for after a while. I mean, there's somebody that's probably listening to the call right now that we had some email exchange, and they responded really, really strongly when they would hear my words, when they would listen. They really connected with this. Apparently, like nothing that ever connected with in their life. And they were emailing me about it. And then in the course of our emails, they sent me their picture. And I made the connection that they looked exactly like someone that I had associated with in a previous lifetime. And I was sure that it was the case. There was other instances, but I didn't recognize that. In fact, they kind of recognized it intuitively because of the way they responded to me. So that's an example where I think the connection was far above astrology, and it was on a soul-level thing. But in many other cases, most other cases, people would meet at a lower level and develop their lower levels of connection, and the other stuff would come in. For example, I've known Terry for 35 years, and I'm as surprised as you are at what comes through her. So let me go through another question here. And
we would like to comment further on the question on the table.
Okay.
We would like to see that also there are genetic similarities between some people, which would make it easier for one to connect with the other. And there are the way in which the culture in which the person has been raised, so that when an Italian in America might meet another Italian and they had both been raised in Italy, they could feel a very much connection at being in each other's vicinity, just because it is so good to meet somebody from one's home country. So there are two more things to consider.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. And this is a question from Debbie Heiner. And she says, "How I'm going to answer it for a couple of words. And she says, how will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate in the fourth dimension? Well, first of all, just by asking that question and trying to give yourself a yes or no, you're totally programming yourself that way. And a better question would be, what do I have to do to graduate? I would believe that everyone listening to these calls is getting enough information that if they apply it, they will graduate this realm. And we still have a number of years. I will say that both Daphne and Terry, at different times, they were saying at one point that, and this could change too, it depends on how many people hold the energy here. But it, you know, for quite some time, they were saying 2017 was a demarcation line. And that this work, the work we're doing, was going to create opportunities for people where not opportunities, other opportunities may have closed down. Well, so you are on a trajectory. Everyone listening here is changing, growing, and you may not be in the place where you graduate right at this moment, okay? And you may be next week or the week after. Now, you know, the way they say it is ultimately it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because here we are now coming into this lifetime, all of us obviously in this lifetime, and we've gone through many lifetimes, and we've gone through a situation where we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and back and forth, and here we are. We don't remember how long it's been in this realm, even though for many of us it's been a very long time, because I think we lose track of time in between lifetimes, or we go into a different timeline. So if you don't graduate, you'll just be around until the next chance comes around. And I would say the more you worry about it, the more you're putting obstacles against you. For every person, the qualities are going to be different. But let me pose the question, because I think that question is probably on many people's minds. How will we know? I'll just pose it the way they wrote it. How will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate the fourth dimension, to the fourth dimension?
Thank you. This is a question of anticipating the future, and we would like to point out that everything occurs in the now. Everything is created and recreated and recreated in the now, although it may not seem like that because it seems like time is continuous. All of the experience, everything that happens is created and recreated and recreated in the now. So when one asks a question about something in the future, then they need to take a look at how things seem to be headed. And things can be changed. One can have a sense, and it brings up several aspects of this. One can have a sense that something is going to happen, and it can be very, very strong, like a certainty. This is going to happen, and they know it, and it's a premonition. in generally they're right, and when they get it, it happens. But we would like to point out one experience which in Harry's past she had, which is an example of how the future can be changed. And that was, she was running a boarding house for people that were not making very much money. And in the boarding house, there were people petitioned off to have living spaces for them in the basement. So as Terry went through her day, planting the garden and cleaning the house and buying food for people, she began to get a sense of a fire occurring in the basement. And she went through a lot of agony about it. It's like, how could she be thinking things like that, of this fire in the basement? And it just, she could just see the flames, and she could see that not everybody down there would make it out. And she just fought the pictures. Well, finally, she went downstairs to the basement, and she looked around, and someone, an artist, was living down there, and the artist had stacked turpentine 3 gallons deep in a semicircle around the furnace. And Portland, Oregon is kind of a cold climate, so the furnace goes on in the winter, and turpentine is very flammable. So Terry moved all the turpentine away from the furnace, and all of the pictures totally went away. There was no more pictures of fire. And Terry spoke to the artist and said, never, ever, ever put turpentine near the furnace. And the pictures just went away and never came back. So when there is a future event, there is a timeline wherein the factors involved in an event begin to take form, begin to manifest in the creation of that area. And one can begin to see that outcome. For instance, when another event was before the tsunami in the Indian Ocean and the South Pacific, many people had dreams or premonitions that something was going to happen. As the conditions began to take hold, began to come more into formation, where the tsunami, where the earthquakes would happen and the tsunami would be, then it bled into the future, into the consciousness of people as a future event. So premonition is one thing that if a person sees, has premonition, there is a way that they can see if it's something that they can have control of, or and they can do something about it if it's local, or if they don't have control over it, if it's very vivid and very strong in their consciousness, they could leave the area, go to high ground. For instance, some of the animals in the South Pacific before the tsunami could feel it coming in, sense it coming in, went to high ground. So there is a sense of something coming about. So when you apply it to your own self, you can begin to have a sense of what your future may be, what you are working toward. And if it is something more intangible, you can put the picture within your space of how you want the outcome to be, even though the outcome may be very different than what is the trajectory that things are moving on. For instance, if things seem economically like they're going downhill, then you can project for your own self local conditions that will allow you to have the vision that you will escape that downward movement in the economy. So when you look at your future and whether you will graduate the realm, then right in present time, you have a lot of things to work on. Take a look at your own self. Are you going to be within your own matrix, in your own consciousness, able to hold the energy of love without being jealous and without being egotistical and without demanding everything go your way? And take a look at how you, your own self, can begin to work with yourself to see your patterns and how you can begin to move into a more fulfilling space. And we say that more fulfilling space is not to put like a rule or anything like that where you attempt to stifle your own self, because true love and true give and take is very spontaneous and very fast, and so we see taking a look at yourself and seeing if you have blocks and working on how you can get through those blocks, not how you can stuff unwanted emotions away or how you can force yourself to act loving, because true love is spontaneous. And it works with all the chakra systems, with the chakra systems working in a clockwise direction. With your cells working in a clockwise direction. And that is one of the reasons that nutrition is so important and your basis for how you your body supports you is very important, because when you eat, for instance, genetically modified foods, they tend to encourage your cells to move in a counterclockwise direction, and then your body does not support you as you would best fulfill yourself to have it support you. Those are some of her comments.
We are almost out of time. I'll read a question that I'm just going to point out is not the kind of question that's good. It's from Crystal. Will my financial condition expand in order to start a new product line in my business? And if you look at the way she's asking it, she's giving up her power. I'm using you as an example. Forgive me. No one knows who you are. It's like you are the creator. It doesn't happen outside of you. If you remember the image of the bicycle and how the Elohim compared themselves to a bicycle, where you pedal and then it goes to a gear shift and it goes to the real rear wheel. If you start pedaling and you pedal in the right way, you'll get a lot of extra energy. You'll have more synchronicities. But you have to learn to pedal. It doesn't just happen like by magic. And then when it does happen, it says, geez, that was magic. So it does happen by magic. But you have to pedal. I'm learning how to pedal. Let's see, it's 6:53. We got about 3 minutes. I'm sorry, we have so many good questions tonight. Please ask them again next week. We have a question here from, let me see here, Melina. And it's a good question. I think why, can you help me remember why I chose to be born to a mother who blames me for her deafness? And she doesn't explain why her mother blames her. But maybe we could ask the more general question. Many of us chose to be born, assuming we chose to be born, and picked our parents, and yet we had parents that created great difficulties for us. Could you share why we made those choices?
Thank you. Sometimes, as in your case, you are working out a past life situation with your mother. Your mother, in this life, gave up a lot to bear you, and nutrition went to you and was it was hard on her body, and to go through some of the things that your mother went through was very hard upon her, and putting money toward you raising you and sacrificing some of the things that she did to give you life and to give you existence and to support you was hard. We suggest that you, in looking at your mother, remember back in seeing what she said about that, writing down anything you can remember of what she said about that, and seeing if anything that she had told you about that makes sense to her position, that you had something to do with her deafness. Now, if something that she said does not totally make sense, then write it down anyway and see if you can develop a pattern about it. Something also that she is not looking at, that she is blaming you, but it is a wrong target because you were not responsible for that. And she had you within her own free will. This view that your mother has, and maybe it will shift as we are looking at it or as you look at it, and let your mother have it and see if you can get beyond it in your own view, in reviewing things that you remember that she said and ways that she was around the house, complainings that she made about other people. Do you also see that it was not only you that she blames for certain things, but she blames others around her too? And she has felt to some degree like she has what she is given has created a problem for her own body. And see if you can, within your own mind, find out more information from your memory and seek to put the pattern that your mother has together and forgive her for that. One of the things in this lifetime is to learn forgiveness and how to be centered within yourself without having to take on something that someone else has blamed you for, but to hold your own center and your own position, and then to give them separately their own position and treat it like a fact of life, not something you like, but a fact of life, and see how you can work with it in your own consciousness to let it go. Once you let it go, it will make it easier for her to let it go, although we see there is an aspect of your mother that holds on to certain things to anchor her own self in making another wrong and herself right.
We're going to have to close off. We're at the end of the hour. Now that we're on BBS and on the radio, we have to keep our calls confined. So I thank everybody for being here. I thank everybody on the lines. I thank everyone on the replay lines. And these replays are available of all of our calls on the Internet. And I do send out the spiritchannel.net as one of the places. So we'll see you all later. And thank you, Terry, and thank you, our sources. And
we send each and every one of you. We give you, we see God light around you.
So beautiful. This is Heisberg Live on 315. This was a recording for 2012. Terry Brown went free. There's a huge load of very deep, interesting, valuable information available on Win's website, intelligent-infinity.com. Next, I want to play two songs before I open up the mics, and then we have a 5-minute break and continue on another line, the whole planet healing call. Thank you all so much for being here. What's left to everyone? All right. I think you all here live on the call tonight for participating with this. Also, when you listen to this later, thank you for participating with this huge project of sharing our love and making this world a better place, having positive intentions. Let there be love. In about 5 minutes, the whole planet healing call will start on a different phone number, which is, if you are ready, 1-712-770-4340, and the PIN is 250513#. You can also go to www.wholeplanethealing.com. And Colleen will be there. And Wynn might possibly be there as well. A good chance. Thank you all very much. Much love. Have a good night. Thank you, BBS.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Actually, I'll open up the line still.
All callers are unmuted.
Much love to you all, guys.